Jam, jam,
jam,
jam.
Great, we have the crew. So let's see if we can get Casa speaker as well.
It's the Malaysian internet.
Right.
Hotel internet usually has some issues.
Fingers crossed. I haven't really prepared any backup plan for Angel's Wing intro.
I see our special guest here. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. It works. Espresso here from the Angel Swing account. If we can get Casper up as a speaker as well. We're good to go.
All right. It works.
Hi, Seneca. Welcome. Are you actually still in Munich or where are you right now?
I am still in Munich, yes. We're moving to Dubai in a couple of months, but I'm still based in Munich for the time being.
Because I'm just seeing you around like almost 24 hours. I was wondering which time zone you actually are.
Yeah, I'm like a vampire. I'm awake till 5, 6 a.m. lately.
Yeah, this space can be a bit hard when it comes to time zones, and especially for Europeans and people in Asia. It's actually 1 a.m. at Casper's place now, right?
Yep, it is. Pardon me if I do any Freudian slips or slip-ups.
Okay, let's get started and welcome everyone to Angel Swing Chat number 32. This week, we're very excited to have Seneca as our guest. Seneca is a big name in Web3 and happy to let you introduce yourself if anyone haven't got who you are yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got into crypto and NFTs properly around February, March 2021. Before that, I was a professional poker player for about 17 years. And I dabbled in like 2017, but then the bear market of 2018 came and I was like, all right, I'm out. Didn't have the conviction to stick around. I spent several months learning the space, DeFi, NFTs, everything. And I started trading, again, kind of everything. Coins, NFTs is the thing that really I was drawn to the most. This would have been like middle of last year. I started creating some content, a newsletter, a podcast, and some Twitter threads. I really enjoyed doing that. So I tried to lean more and more into that and less into trading. And that led to launching Zen Academy about a year ago, which is a NFT membership community focused on education, information, learning, and bringing people together.
Thank you. So great to have you here. And let's start also by introducing the Angel Swing to any new listeners. Casper, if you would mind.
Okay, we are the Angel Swing, an international NFT art gallery and podcast show founded by international friends who met through our beloved but soon to be antique Meta Angels project. While we're international, Espresso and Johannes are from Europe, Yun is from the US. And our other OG, Rebel, and myself, we're from Asia. We're driven by a common passion to showcase independent artists and their art and helping them stand out from the crowded NFT market that's pretty much dominated by generative 10K PFE projects and other generative projects. We do showcase the art in an on-cyber virtual gallery. Of course, a larger collection of art brings a cross-pollination of viewership that has very nicely helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors through sales. We have organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends. Our regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify and YouTube. The easiest way to catch us would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link tree in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art NFT community. Last but not least, we'd like to mention that nothing on this show should be construed as investment advice. This podcast is for informational purposes only. That being said, back to you, Espresso.
Thank you. Today, we want to talk about Zen Academy. We want to talk about art, generative art, digital art. But it's impossible to do a podcast this week without speaking about the week in crypto, at least for a couple of minutes. Just a quick recap. There's been big issues with the FTX exchange this week. They filed for bankruptcy and they were something like the third biggest exchange in crypto, certainly one of the biggest ones. First of all, really hope that no one here were affected. I know thousands of people were affected by this bankruptcy and the issues, and people are not able to withdraw. So that's horrible. I wanted to hear your thoughts, Senegal, on, first of all, checking that you were not affected by this. And secondly, how does this affect Web3?
Yeah, fortunately, I was not directly impacted personally, but obviously there's indirect impact and goes out to everyone that did have money on FTX and lost because of their insolvency. I think it's obviously a terrible thing to happen in the space for crypto, for Web3. It's bad for many reasons. It's bad for the individuals affected. It's bad for the industry as a whole. I think it sets us back quite a bit, puts us even more so under the eye of regulators. And not that regulations are bad, regulations are good, but I think it increases the chance that we maybe get over-regulated and regulation comes down in a way that is not good, not conducive to long-term innovation and all sorts of other good things. Ironically, it emphasizes and highlights why crypto is so important. Crypto is about decentralization, and this was a centralized exchange that went down. I really hope that DeFi and decentralized protocols don't get caught up in some of the regulation and there's confusion where people think that DeFi and CeFi are the same. They're very much not. It just shows how much we need to work on espousing the values of crypto and decentralization and self-custodying your assets. I think that going forward, hopefully as a space, we can do a better job of that. There's less and less of an impact of people getting burned by the actions or inactions of centralized platforms or people.
Yeah, totally agree. And that's, it's hardly ever been more true that not your keys, not your coins, as people often say in crypto. It seems also that there's been this big chase for yields across everything, which has caused people to overextend, which is not great. Leaving that aside, we wanted to have Seneca on to speak about Senecademy and about art, as mentioned. Senecademy had a big town hall and announcements last week with details about an upcoming PFP collection, more details about what they're called, the Zend Labs Empire. I wanted to first focus on this PFP drop because you already have a membership token, which launched last year. And this new upcoming PFP drop is not going to be a second collection. So there's an interesting worm mechanics. And wonder if you could describe that and a bit of detail of why you chose this approach.
Absolutely. So when we launched a year ago, I very much didn't want to do a PFP because the space had so many PFP projects already. I figured we didn't need yet another one. So we launched as a membership token, ERC-1155, where the NFT gets you access to the Discord and then additional perks and benefits and utility on top of that. So it's ironic that year on, when there's been about 8 billion more PFP projects, why do we now decide to do one? And really, it's because the existing community wants one and has asked for one. We've already got the community now, and I think we can strengthen that community and empower them and reward them with a PFP. It's something fun. It's something collectible. It's something exciting. It allows for social identity and community bonding, social platforms. So that in mind, that we are doing a PFP. Instead of it being massively inflationary where we drop another 10K collection or 20K collection, we want to do it as a protect the burn event. Because in my experience, when projects flood the market with a ton more additional tokens, it is usually not a good idea. There are exceptions, but the exceptions usually come when 10,000 is too few NFTs for a community. And I think given the size of the space right now and the number of projects there are out there, 10,000 is more than enough. So we don't want to inflate the community size by adding far more tokens to the existing collection. So we're basically doing a burn mechanic where people burn their Genesis token, they'll get a chest, a Zen chest. You can think of that like a Rengar black box or a CoinX file. And then next year, Q1 is what we're aiming for. People will be able to burn that chest and reveal their PFP. And we do have a second collection as well. And this is like the way to expand the ecosystem in our eyes. Because I do understand that 10,000 in the grand scheme of things really isn't that many. But rather than just like flood the market right now, we're introducing a student ID NFT, which is a free, unlimited supply, soul-bound NFT. There's no financial speculative value to it, but it's something that anyone, and ideally people who are brand new to NFTs, will pick up, get them access to the base level of Zen Academy and be part of the ecosystem to get an NFT that adds some utility and perks without having to pay anything and expand the ecosystem that way.
That's interesting. So the student ID is going to be free to mint and you'll get access to parts of the Discord?
That's correct. Yeah, we always want to have part of the Discord free for everyone. So you actually don't even need an NFT to get access to the student section of the Discord. But having the student ID, maybe we'll get you a different role color, maybe access to some discounts or small perks or maybe some occasional giveaways. We're going to make it such that as people continue their journey through our Web3, you can get like badges on the student ID. It can be some like small perks, but the actual access to the Discord is something we want to make, even if we don't have an NFT, because there are a lot of people who find out about NFTs and crypto but well before they actually have a wallet set up or anything like that. We want to be able to help them as well.
That sounds great. And soulbound tokens are also fairly new innovation. It's been talked about a bit for the last few months. I knew Curious had this, did one. But not many projects have gone that path yet.
Yeah, they're pretty new. So we're excited to incorporate them, experiment with them. And yeah, I think they're a great idea.
That sounds cool. And I also have to ask, this PE project, what can we expect in terms of the art?
Yeah, it's a great question. We haven't shared much about the art, honestly, because we haven't 100% decided on some of the art direction. We have some really strong ideas about where we want to take the art and the artists or the artists we want to work with, but we're still exploring that side of things. And that's why this is not happening till next year, is because we want to make sure they take the time to get the art right and do it in a way that is right. Generally speaking, I'm a fan of not trying to experiment too much when it comes to art, because I think art is subjective and you're never going to create art that the entire community is going to love. I'd rather have art that has a universal appealing and the type of art that most people tend to like or will be happy with, rather than trying to go really out there with 3D art. Is a great example where a lot of projects and experiments are trying to do 3D models, and sometimes it works, but most of the time because it's so difficult, it end up falling short, and it can be a big drawback for the entire community. But we really want to, yeah, do something a little more, what's the word, traditional, I would say.
Okay. So a bit of wait and see. But yeah, that's also exciting. And I think also out of the co-hosts here, we are, as a disclaimer, Zen Academy members, several of us. Very excited to see where this goes. And I also wanted to bring up, you mentioned community and community building as an important topic. I wonder, can you describe the kind of community that you've built so far?
Yeah, I think we have an interesting community because it is a mix of people that are fairly new to the space, but also people that are quite experienced and have been around for a year, 2 years, in some cases 5 years plus. I think the main thing that the community has is that everyone kind of shares similar culture and ethos and values, and people want to generally just help others and be part of a supportive, helpful community where we look out for each other and we really focus on logic and reason and facts and objectivity, less on hype and speculation and drama and engagement and all that kind of stuff. If I had to talk about the types of people that are in the community and the community attracts, it's people that care a lot about that and are less speculating on short-term price fluctuations or focus on the floor price. It's really just people here for the long term and wanting to be part of a really strong, global, inclusive, empowering community.
Great. Casper, you have a question?
Yeah, Nicola, thanks for joining our show. Just had a real quick question, because I understood that Zen Academy was meant to onboard pretty much new people onto Web3. So what's in it? I'm going to ask a tough question here for Web3 pros like myself to join Zen Academy. Because you mentioned quite a few people are experienced Web3 people, right, in your community?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good question. And that's the whole reason that we're doing what we're doing now. Like within Zen Academy, we launched with two tiers of membership. We had the 333 Club, which is really for project founders and builders. And then we had the Zen Academy Genesis. And that was for like literally everyone else. So you had the pure beginners and then you had the people that are more advanced. We've realized how difficult it is to cultivate a community that is for both target audiences and for both groups. Like on the one hand, you may be talking about alpha and degenning into random mints and, you know, the nuances of the FTX news. And on the other hand, you're trying to explain to people what a blockchain is. Moving forward, the existing community of token holders and Genesis holders will be migrating over to the PFP, and they will sit in what I would call like the advanced tier of Zen Academy. That will be people who are more experienced, and that's where we can talk about advanced topics. We can have like tools and bots and analytics things set up within the Discord. Currently, we have things like weekly calls for founders to come together and talk about the important topics of the space, to connect and network and meet one another. And we're going to increase those types of events. We had an expert call a month or so back where we had an IP and trademark lawyer come in and talk to the community. We're continuing to find ways to bring value to holders about more advanced topics. And that is going to be more exclusive for the Genesis token holders and soon to be the PFP community. That allows us to avoid doing any sort of like beginner content for that community for the most part, and focusing all of our beginner and onboarding content to the student level. We're basically splitting from two tiers into three. And soon we'll have the 333 Club. We're going to have the Genesis and PFP community. We actually have a name for them, but we just haven't shared it publicly yet because we're waiting on trademarks and stuff like that. But that'll be the middle tier. And then we'll have the students. And the students will be where we focus educational and onboarding content. So if you're more advanced, then just naturally you'll spend your time, the PFP community. Like for me, I consider myself like a degen and very much someone that is more advanced and more personally interested and fascinated in the day-to-day nuances of the space. And I love chatting about that with people and talking about it and trying to help others navigating those waters. That's probably where I'll be spending, you know, the most of my time. And then when it comes to beginners, it's we have a team of moderators, other community members and team members who are just like there all the time to help answer sort of some of the more basic questions that require less nuance, but to a beginner are very important. And on top of that, we have like educational courses we're putting together for currently specifically for beginners, but actually I've got a couple out there for people who want to launch their own project and build a community. But the one we launched most recently, 30 Days of NFTs, is really geared for someone that knows absolutely nothing about NFTs. So that's how I think about it. It's been a problem where it's been difficult to reconcile creating and cultivating a community for the more advanced people and the beginners. And so we're like intentionally splitting it up going forward to make that differentiation.
Wow, yeah. Cool. Sounds like you guys really thought this through really extensively. But the most important question, is there a section which talks about what price to buy ETH at?
There actually isn't. We talked about having DeFi in a coin section, and I think we probably will at some point. But at the moment, there's a running meme in the Discord where, you know, because I've been asked a few times, what do you think is going to happen to the price of ETH? And I said, fairly certain it's either going to go lower or it's going to go higher or it's going to stay roughly the same. I'm pretty certain that's going to happen.
Wow, that's some pretty big brain stuff.
That's what kind of alpha you get in the Zen Academy. So.
But thanks, appreciate you sharing the extensiveness of what you guys are providing in there.
No, thanks for asking.
We also had a follow-up question in the Discord about the PFP project. Did we understand it correctly that you're planning to have multiple artists working on the art? I know it's still early, but that was the question.
Yeah, let me see what I can say. I would say we would hope to have one main artist, and then ideally I want to have a lot of established artists in the space maybe create one single trait. I've been a collector of art for 12 plus months in the space now, and I'm friends with a lot of established artists, and I'm reaching out to some of them and plan to reach out to a lot more just to see if they would be interested in creating just a single trait to put into the collection, because I think that's a really fun way to, you know, shine a light on them as artists, to highlight the importance of art, to allow some of our community members to get something created by artists. Like, it's very difficult and expensive sometimes for a person to collect art from, let's say, X Coffee. And I'm not saying X Coffee is going to be in our collection. He's almost certainly not, because he or they don't often do stuff like this. But actually, stuff's in CC0 now, so maybe there is X Coffee in the collection. But it's really difficult for someone to afford one of these top super rare artists, or even someone who's less prolific and maybe their work sells for modest numbers, like an ETH or half an ETH or something like that. It's difficult for anyone to justify buying purely for the sake of art. But I think if we can work with artists to incorporate some of their work and some of their traits into our collection, that way, this is a fun way to bring art and artists together and allow diversity within the, allow people to have fun and to collect from some really well-known artists. That's something I'm really excited about. It's a bit of a challenge figuring it out, because We want to make sure that the collection has a lot of synergy and it isn't all over the place. There's a lot of thinking and decision-making still yet to be done on the art side. We have a lot of ideas and like high-level directions we want to go in, but the next, say, month or so, we'll really be ironing out the direction, the artists, and hopefully, yeah, getting to work so that, you know, in the new year, we can deliver some awesome art PFPs to our community.
Nice. Yeah, so that kind of also reminds me a bit about these art blocks friendship bracelets, that where I recently learned that some of the color palettes are designed by artists and art blocks team members. That's the approach they took to incorporate some famous names into the collection.
Yeah, it was super cool what they've done with the friendship bracelets. Very exciting.
Yes, I agree. So fun to watch. And a lot being claimed. I think they're up to 23,000 now, which is amazing. Johannes?
Yeah, hi, Seneca. I'm excited to talk with you. I'm also in the Sen Academy, and I have the feeling that you care about artists because you made that Christmas present ZenMess where you promoted a lot of artists. And I was really happy to see all these tokens coming to my wallet. And as far as I understand, you are planning this again to promote more artists with another ZenMess drop, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So basically in December last year, we decided to do something called the 12 Days of ZenMess, obviously based on the 12 Days of Christmas. We commissioned art from 12 up-and-coming artists who haven't sold a lot of work. Maybe they haven't sold any NFTs or they've just sold like a small amount and they're struggling to sell work in the space and gain recognition. And we would commission a piece from all of them, pay them for their work and their time, and then airdrop that piece to our entire community as a way for kind of like a win-win where the artists get paid, they get commissioned, and also even probably more importantly, we get to share their work with, you know, thousands of community members. I share it on Twitter. There's a lot more visibility for the artists that can often help them. Our community wins because they get a beautiful piece of art in their wallet and it's just airdropped to them so they don't have to do anything and just enjoy and appreciate the art. And we win because it brings everyone together in a nice giving kind of manner and in the spirit of Christmas. So we did that last year in December. We did it again in July, August this year. And we said, hey, Christmas in July, ZenMess in July. Let's try and do that. And we're doing it again coming up next month because, God, it's crazy. Christmas is almost here. We closed applications because we're in the process of now just going through and selecting the artists, the team at Zen Academy that go through that process and shortlist. And then we reach out to the artists and give them about a month to create the work. And then we airdrop it to the community. So I'm really excited. Like, it's one of my favorite parts of our year that we've been around and the things that we do. And I look forward to seeing what the art is. I'm really excited because we've had a lot of new community members join over the last month or so. And this will be their first ZenMess. And it's just a fun way to bring people together. Yeah.
So you are even paying the artists. That's pretty cool. And will it be again on Polygon or on what blockchain are you going to drop it this time? Because yeah, gas is now a little bit cheaper.
Gas is cheaper. It'll probably still be on Polygon because we do pay the artist, and to airdrop, let's see, if it's one per wallet, which we've been doing instead of one per token, it's still like 5,000-6,000 per drop, and there's 70,000-60,000 T dropped, which starts to get expensive doing it on mainnet. We started with Polygon, and we're going to continue with Polygon. The whole goal is not to make these very valuable NFTs in a price sense, because when you have a supply so large, there's 7,000 of one, it's very difficult for that to be worth a huge amount of money. That's not a consideration or a goal. Honestly, we should even consider making them soulbound because the whole idea is just to reward our community with great art. That's why we do Polygon and we're going to stick with Polygon. Actually, Polygon has been gaining a lot in momentum and notoriety over the last several months. Like Reddit released theirs on Polygon. Starbucks announced they're going to do Polygon. Drifter Shoots recently did a drop on Polygon and he's one of the most well-known and prolific artists in the space. It used to be that Polygon was thought to be just a blockchain for maybe some game projects and then where people just send spam and junk NFTs all the time because of how cheap it was. But I think it's beginning to shift into more of a well-renowned and established blockchain and people tend to like respect the art and the NFTs a bit more. We do have plans next year for other art-based initiatives where we'll have like lower supply and perhaps be with more well-known artists, less up-and-coming artists, and those are probably a little more likely to be on mainnet just because whatever we do, I think the supplies would be like an order of magnitude or even two orders of magnitude or even three orders of magnitude lower. Like maybe instead of 70,000, we do 100 or 70 or 500. If that's the case, the gas on mainnet becomes a lot more palatable to pay.
Great plan. Thank you for answering and I'm really excited for the next swap.
This is a good time also to transition into the topic of art in general, because Seneca, you're also a big collector in the space and you discovered art blocks earlier, I think it's fair to say. So I was wondering, what do you look for when you assess art with the intent to collect? Is it the aesthetics or the artist or the techniques they used, or how would you describe your strategy?
Yeah, when it comes to art that I like to collect, it's largely aesthetics, just like what I like looking at and the visuals of it. I definitely also place a little bit of an emphasis, or sometimes I collect because the technique is like really interesting and sophisticated to me. I think that if I see an artist doing something and I'm like, wow, that's really crazy, how do they do that? And like start to dig into it, and I start to get more and more impressed by the technical nuances and details involved. And that is another reason I might collect it. But as a pure collector, like the primary reason is just like how I like it and what I think of it. That's how I look at it as a collector. Some element or some degree of when I'm buying art, it's more an investor, and I think, oh, this is art that I think will go up in value over maybe a few years or whatever time horizon. And then I might look at different things like the supply, how prolific the artist is, whether they're well known in Web 2 and Web 3 as well, or what other people think, all sorts of other considerations. The price obviously comes into consideration, the price history. But that's, again, very speculative when it's investment based. But as a collector, if I'm just buying because I like the art and want to hold it, then it's usually just like the visuals and nothing much else.
Okay, yeah. And how has this evolved over the last 12 months?
I think probably the biggest thing that's evolved over the last 12 months, I wasn't really into art, say, 18 months ago. I only really became an art fan and collector due to NFTs. So just starting out in the journey, I didn't really have much experience, and I didn't have a mental model or framework for how to think about and evaluate, and didn't know what my tastes were, and didn't know what I liked and disliked. So it was very exploratory then. It's still exploratory now, but now I have a bit more of an understanding of, oh, this is the type of art that I like. And now I know a lot of the artists. And so I'm like, if this artist releases something, I have an idea of what they've done before. If it's something in line with their previous work, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I can see like the evolution of the artist and how they've changed over time. And if it's something completely different, then that's also interesting, because it's like, huh, this is very different. And now you see the diversity and the range that the artist can create. And just generally speaking, the biggest difference is just like the level of domain knowledge that I have in the space has really grown exponentially, because I had very little of it a year ago.
Yeah, that makes sense. As you collect more, you learn more about the process, the artists, and all the aspects. Has that made you more selective in a way, do you think? Or are you still discovering new things that's are mind-blowing and collect for that reason?
I'd say that probably hasn't made me more selective. I'd say I am more selective only because of time constraints, and I don't really have the time these days to spend. Unfortunately, I don't really have that much time to explore new artists and new collections and really go down rabbit holes like I used to. So I'm a little more selective in that I tend to gravitate already towards artists that I already know and keep an eye on. And I unfortunately miss so much stuff, new stuff and amazing stuff, but there's so much great stuff coming out, especially if you look at even just in generative art. You look at FX Hash has a tremendous amount of incredible art being released, but I just can't stay on top of all of it. And then if we step outside the generative art scope, then there's an incredible amount of awesome art being created by a variety of creators and a variety of mediums, like photography is really taking off. AI art, it has been really a niche area for a while, and now is like really coming into its own. I think that there's so much incredible new art out there that I just am unfortunately not discovering, so I tend to just stick to what I know.
Yeah, it makes sense. I totally agree. There's been a great explosion in the amount of possible art to collect and to look into, and the number of artists, and also specific genres like AI art has a separate subdomain in a way. We've also featured that on this podcast before. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening in that area. And you mentioned generative art. Do you look at generative art differently from other types of digital art, like one-on-one art or other kinds?
Yeah, I do. I think generative art, it's very much a category of its own. It is a category of its own and a niche of its own. And it's such a different genre because of just the nature of it. I really find it to be like the pinnacle of blockchain art, NFT art, because it utilizes the blockchain in a way that, say, one-on-one art doesn't. The way a one-on-one artist creates their work is usually they'll use something like Procreate or Photoshop or pick your other tools, and they'll sit there and create something, and then they'll mint it to the blockchain and then sell the NFT. The way that generative art works is an artist will do the similar work where they sit there and they create the body of code and they test, but then they upload the code and the actual NFT, the output of the art, isn't created at that time. The actual output and the art piece is only created when someone goes and mints it. This beautiful co-creation moment where the final NFT is created by the artist and the code, but also by the buyer, because it takes a part of the transaction hash, and also by the blockchain. And it's really, to me, just like an incredibly powerful and awesome thing. Really, just personally love generative art more than any other type of art. Just maybe it's because of what I first found and fell in love with in the space and as an art collector, but I think there's something just really special about it.
Yeah, so I think probably not a surprise that I'm 100% agree and blown away by generative art, where I think the challenges are quite different for the artists making the art, because generative art has this additional layer of complexity in that the artist is not curating the outputs, right? So then they have to pay attention to what are the possible outputs and how to debug and fix anything that looks a bit strange when they test their algorithm, which honestly can take a lot of time to do properly. And I also think on the topic of generative art, see, many have also mentioned that in the same sentence as kind of software is increasingly important in our lives in general, with everyone in front of screens working remotely, and generative art is software as well, which makes it super interesting.
Yeah, we're moving into an increasingly digital future, and I think that's why generative art, AI art, and NFTs as a whole, just digital art, anything digital native, is really coming into its own and is a very bright future ahead of it.
Yeah, I agree. And a couple of questions here. So let's go June first.
Thank you, Espresso. Seneca, I've been interested whether you have a favorite art piece that you've collected so far. It can be just like one-on-one art or generative art piece. And if that's the case, can you tell us a bit why it resonates with you? Like maybe on a deeper level, which goes beyond just the pure aesthetics.
I'm not sure that I have a single art piece. I've been asked this question a lot, and there's probably not a single one that really stands out. I have a Fidenza and I absolutely love it, and it is very special to me, but it's not head and shoulders above anything else. I have a lot of art block pieces that I really love. Yeah, I think... Unfortunately, there's no single one that stands out. It's just I like a lot of art for a lot of different reasons from a lot of different artists. I'm a big fan, and it goes through phases. Ask me each month, and maybe I have a different artist that I'm really loving. Lately, ever since I first found out about Zancan, I've been a huge fan, but lately I've been appreciating his work even more. Just this merge of being very focused on nature and greenery and grass and leaves and gardens, and using code to create it in this very digital sense. That plus the fact that as I get to know Zancan more as a person and see him or hear him speak and interact with him a little bit myself, I get to just know him more as a person, and it just like really adds to the entirety of how I appreciate the art. So I guess if I had to pick an artist, it'd probably be Zancan at the moment, but again, no particular piece is really jumping to mind.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Thank you.
And Casper.
Zanika, you did speak in general about the rather sad case of the after effects of FTX's implosion. But just latching on to also what you mentioned about how generative art has a very bright future, how do you see this dovetailing into what has happened in the recent events? Like, more specifically, what's the future going to look like when everybody on CT is now tweeting about how SBF has put us back 3 to 5 years for this entire industry? Are we going to expect NFTs to be on the same trajectory as the rest of crypto, or do you see it taking a different path because it's art? Let's just talk about NFTs in general, both projects as well as art.
Yeah, I think that is very unfortunate, obviously, what happened lately. And I don't disagree that we've been set back. I'm not sure that it's an additional several years. I know that some respected people in the space have that opinion, and the reality is we don't really know how much this has all set us back, and we really won't know until a few years from now we look back at it and maybe can make some sort of a guesstimate. I think that, to me, like, NFTs have been surprisingly insulated from all of the fallout, because partly because NFTs are all self-custody, so no one had direct exposure. And then secondly, I think that it's just different crowd and different community. When it comes to especially like generative art NFTs and art NFTs, I think that it doesn't change my long-term view or overall outlook of the technology of the art. I think I'm as excited and as bullish as ever on just like digital art, generative art, and whether it takes 2 years or 20 years for the mainstream to catch on, I think it's inevitable. I think we've seen some really positive signs that it might happen sooner rather than later. For instance, MoMA announcing a few months back that they're looking to sell and auction some of their existing pieces to raise tens of millions of dollars and then are planning to deploy that into digital art. I think it's fair to say that NFTs would be a large part of that, perhaps some art blocks collections, perhaps some X-Copy and really prolific one-on-one artists. That would be a massive sign of validation for the space. I really don't think that much has changed in the grand scale of things for generative art and NFTs.
Cool. I guess all NFT bags are safe. Yay. But seriously speaking, it still blows my mind that serious art collectors do keep their pieces and do diamond hand it, because the Fidenzas are still at 100 ETH floor, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, somewhere between 90 and 100. That's one of the other things. It's a different crowd and a different group and makeup of holders, the people that sort of collect art and generative art, than your average, say, 10K PFP collector. I think that there generally are far fewer sellers and a lot more pieces that are just locked up for the very, very long term. Generally speaking, when you buy art NFT, you know what you're buying and you get what you get. Art is the NFT, the utility, it's everything. And if you compare that to a PFP project, a membership project, like even Zen Academy, so much of the value prop of that tends to rely on other community members and even more so the team on delivering X, Y, and Z and then making sure that things keep running. But when it comes to pure art NFTs, it's like, that is it. And there's less impact when negative events might happen because it was all there in the original purchase price. The value prop was there. You still have the art. You still have what you paid for. So yeah, I think that's another big plus for art.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think also many of the people who buy art are not really in it to flip it, but really to appreciate the art. So yeah, totally agree with that.
Yeah, and Johannes next.
We at the Angels Wing, we are concentrating a little bit more on the raising artists and new artists. And some of our artists are struggling in these tough times, a bear market, prices are low, how to pay the rent. And as a collector, as a professional collector, Seneca, would you recommend to our artists to still drop pieces? Should they slow down or should they maybe even lower prices? So what do you think? What would be your expectation? Would you still pay the same price like half a year ago?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it's really tough for artists in this space for many reasons. Like it's never been easy for an artist to sell their work and find an audience. And it's no different in the digital and virtual space than it is in the traditional world, unfortunately. But I think it's just a fact of life that there are, at least at this point and up until now, there have been more people creating art than people and capital wanting to buy and purchase art. And I think maybe that's starting to shift. At least we're seeing so many new people, and myself included, who I was never an art buyer or collector up until, say, 18 months ago. And then because of NFTs, I started to learn more about it and became more of a appreciator of art. And I think that is happening on a very large scale worldwide and will continue to happen. But anyway, to answer your question, I think that in a bear market or in any market, it can be really difficult to know, do I lower the price of my pieces? Do I release more? Do I release less? You know, what to do? I think the real answer is it depends. Every artist is going to be different. I say this to people that are like launching a project or trying to trade or flip or invest and think the most important thing to think about is your why and come down to like, why are you doing things? What are your goals? An artist that needs to make ends meet and their full-time job is art and they need to put a roof over their head by selling artwork, that their goals are going to be very different than someone who has a full-time job and is like creating art on the side. And if they sell anything, then it's like a nice little bonus perk, but that's not the main reason. That there are some people who, yeah, will make certain sacrifices compared to others in terms of whether it's marketing, promoting, working with other projects or brands. Some people just very clearly want to go it alone and create only their work. And the real answer is it really just wildly depends. I would say that largely speaking, I just try and figure out what your goals are and why you're here and what you're trying to achieve, and then also be realistic about it, because it is a really difficult space to find success in. It's not impossible, and the opportunities are greater than they've ever been for artists. So I really do encourage any artist that is trying to make a living as like be an artist as a full-time profession to take the time to take this space seriously and look into what it would take. but also to be realistic and understand that even during a bull run, it was harder for an artist, let alone bear run, where it's discretionary spending, which kind of is where art falls into, is down, and people are trying to hold on to their ETH or their money to prepare for a potentially dark future. It does get harder for an artist to sell their work. So I think just keep your eyes open and explore whatever your goals are and really take a deep inward look, and you can probably make whatever decisions are best for you going forward.
That's the great advice. And I also like the fact that as a traditional artist, you have a gallery in some local town and you hope for some visitors and you maybe are getting a little bit national viewership. But here in the internet, you have this chance every day that the full world can see your art. I think this makes a big difference that in this space, everybody has a chance to expose his art. And even if you are maybe living in a small village or in a small country, everybody has at least a chance to be seen.
Yeah, it's one of the best parts about the globalization of commerce, for lack of a better word, which is not the sexiest word when you talk about art, but just generally speaking, the ability for people to buy and sell and market and find collectors worldwide is one of the best parts about all of this. It allows people, like you said, if you're in a city and you have your art in a gallery, then it's almost certainly the people that walk through and find that gallery that might collect your art. Maybe they have a website, but it's very rarely been the websites that are a great source of traffic. Now that audience potentially goes global. I have a really fun, great story to tell. If you look at my Twitter banner, it is created by this wonderful Thai artist, his name is Pondering. And I found his art, I think just randomly scrolling either Twitter or Foundation, would have been well over a year ago now. And was always a fan of it and just had it like in the back of my mind. And then when we launched Zen Academy, I reached out to him and then I commissioned a piece for Zen Academy. It wasn't even this one. It was a different animated piece. And that was amazing. We ended up raffling a couple of those off to the community. Then in December last year, when we did Zenmas, we asked him to be the 12th day. And as his final reward to the community, he airdropped these Twitter banners. And he did that and it was amazing. And obviously we paid him for all of his work. I think it was only like another few months after that, so like maybe 6 months after I started chatting with him, we were talking about something and he mentioned that he speaks zero English. And the entirety of our conversation, he'd been using Google Translate to translate what I would say, communicate it, and then translate back. So now you have someone who is from Thailand who doesn't even speak the same language. I would absolutely never have found him on his work, but because of the internet and because of NFTs and the way that they work, now there's an artist from a country who speaks a different language to me, who has found a collector from a country who speaks a different language to him. And that's happening, I think, all the time. And as time goes on and as things like AI improve and real-time translations improve and the world gets smaller and smaller, people from everywhere will be able to capitalize on their talents. I think this is triply important for people who are from parts of the world where the economic standards are lower than, say, America or many Western countries, say somewhere like the Philippines or Africa or certain parts of Africa or even India, or parts of Brazil, South America, where the average monthly wage is a lot lower than elsewhere. It is a much larger deal if they can sell an NFT for 0.1 ETH or 0.2 ETH. It can really materially impact their lives in a very positive way. It can be a global equalizer of wealth and distribute it from people who maybe have $200 a month of discretionary spending in America, and maybe they spend $50 of that on art because they're an art collector. It might, like, $50 doesn't go that far in America. If someone is an artist in America, it's selling $50 is not going to make their month. But you compare that to someone in a country where $50 is average monthly wage or part of an average, like half of an average monthly wage. Now, all of a sudden, you have the ability for people on different sides of the world to really come together and have these really mutually beneficial relationships. Yeah, I just think that there's something really special going on, and it's going to continue to happen.
Thank you for sharing this great story. I totally agree. Great chance for our artists.
Yeah, so much of the art I've come across, especially on Twitter, is from all over the world. The great thing is also that this space is bringing us so much closer to the artists as well. I can admire the art, I can collect it, and then I can chat with the artist afterwards, which is amazing. I really like this way of spreading the word about art. And on that note, would you also say that Twitter is the main channel for artists to focus on if they want to spread the word?
Currently, I would say yes, but I think Instagram has always been the home for artists. And now that Instagram has added native NFT functionality into the platform, I think I would really strongly suggest artists also look at Instagram or continue to look at Instagram or spend a good amount of time there. And it's not just Instagram, Twitter. I really think that people should be on all of the social platforms, as many as they can handle. Obviously, Twitter is where the heart and soul of crypto is, and there's many good reasons for that. But I think I would not dismiss Instagram, especially given current events.
Yeah, that's a good tip. They are certainly moving in the direction of Web3, these various NFT news coming. So we are at the hour mark, which is our usual point in time where we round off. So I wanted to ask if there's anything about Zen Academy or anything else you'd like to mention, maybe a YouTube channel or a podcast or anything else?
Yeah, I would just say that if anyone's interested in joining Zen Academy or learning more, then please feel free to ask questions. The Discord is open to everyone. There's a couple of channels you can ask questions in and check it out. The thing that I'm most trying to shine a light on these days is the 30 Days of NFTs course that we created. You can find it at 30daysofnfts.com. That's 30, the numbers. And it's a free email course for anyone that might be curious about learning what NFTs are and how to get started. It's a great course to send to like your friends or family members or coworkers. You might be like NFT curious and what the hell is this stuff? It's too overwhelming. How do I get started? And then this course takes people day by day from what is an NFT, what is a blockchain, what is a wallet, and so on and so forth, and gets them started that way.
Awesome. Yeah, we will link to that in the description as well. So yeah, thank you so much, Seneca, for coming on our Spaces and podcast. It's been great. Very happy that we got to have this chat.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Seneca.
Thank you so much. Bye.
It was a great talk, and we would every time welcome you again, Seneca.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'd love to come back at some point. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye. In time.